2,000 years ago, Jesus taught his disciples seven secrets of the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says they were amazed at his teaching, and we'll find out why today, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Shalom, and welcome to Messianic Perspectives, a daily program where we look into the scriptures from a distinctive first century Jewish point of view. This is Liz Aiello. Today we're talking about seven secrets of the kingdom with our Bible teacher, Dr. Gary Hedrick. I'll be back a little later with information about a special offer, so have your pencil and paper ready. Now with today's study, here's Gary.
Thank you, and welcome, listening friend, to another edition of the program. It's good to have you with us today as we continue this series of studies on the seven secrets of the kingdom. Now, today we come to the most important verse in Matthew chapter 13. It's parable number 4, the parable of the leaven. Look what it says, verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. This parable is the key to the entire chapter on the secrets of the kingdom. It is exactly in the center of this series of 7 parables. 3 come before it, and 3 come after it. Someone has said the key to the understanding of the New Testament is the book of Matthew, and the key to Matthew is the 13th chapter, and the key to the 13th chapter is the 33rd verse, the parable of the leaven. That's how important this is. Now, before I give you what I believe is the correct interpretation of the parable of the leaven, let me give you the most common interpretation. This is the interpretation you would hear in 90% of the Bible colleges and seminaries in this country, but it's entirely erroneous. They would say that the leaven is the gospel. The woman who takes and hides it is the church. The 3 measures of meal represent the world. So when you put it all together, what they're saying is that the parable of the leaven means that the church, by preaching the gospel in the world, will finally convert all the world, and the whole earth will be leavened and converted to Christianity. But that interpretation is inconsistent with the way leaven is used throughout biblical revelation. Wherever you find leaven in the Bible, it is always symbolic of evil, sin, and corruption. Leaven, the most common form of which is yeast, is a destructive agent. What it does is, it introduces a process of fermentation. And fermentation is fundamentally a process of what? Destruction. In the case of grape juice, for example, when it ferments, the molecules of the carbohydrates in that juice are broken down into smaller molecules of carbon dioxide and alcohol. It's a degenerative process, a process of decay, which is why it always symbolizes evil in the Bible. Read through the Torah sometime, especially Exodus and Leviticus, and make note of what God says about leaven. Let me read you what the Jewish Book of Why says about leaven, and why only unleavened bread or matzah was used in the Feast of the Passover. This is from the Jewish Book of Why by Alfred Kolach from Jonathan David Publishers. Here's what it says. Matzah was used in the sacrificial system of the temple. Offerings had to be absolutely pure, and anything leavened, chametz, was considered impure because it had fermented or soured. The word chametz literally means sour. Matzah, unleavened bread, on the other hand, was a symbol of purity. The Talmud says leaven represents the evil impulse of the heart. End quote. So in the Old Testament, leaven symbolized evil. In the New Testament, it represents evil in the form of doctrinal error or false teaching. Jesus warned his disciples against the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, Matthew 16:12. In Mark 8:15, he warns them against the leaven of the Herodians. The leaven of the Pharisees was hypocrisy and outward orthodoxy. Outwardly, they dotted all their I's and crossed all their T's, but inwardly, many of the Pharisees were full of meanness and corruption. The leaven of the Sadducees was their humanistic and materialistic worldview because they denied the supernatural and the miraculous. The Sadducees denied the reality of the resurrection, and they said this life is all there is. That was the leaven of the Sadducees. And thirdly, the leaven of the Herodians was the mixing of politics and religion. Jesus warned about all three forms of evil and used leaven to symbolize all of them. In the New Testament, leaven also represents evil in the form of moral error. Not just doctrinal error, but also moral error. The Apostle Paul warned the Corinthians against the leaven of malice and wickedness. In fact, he says precisely the same thing about leaven that Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 13. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:6, "Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" That's the corrupting power of evil. If you take a little evil and mix it with a barrel full of goodness, what happens? Does the goodness make the evil turn good? Or does it make the good turn evil? Think about it. If you take a bushel of apples and add one rotten apple, what happens? Do the good apples have an effect on the bad apple? Or does the bad apple have an effect on the good apples? You see, that's the corrupting power of evil. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, Paul says. And in the context of that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul was talking about evil in the church, in the ecclesia. There was a situation where a man was living in flagrant immorality with his own stepmother, his father's wife. And what Paul was telling the Corinthian church was that this immorality had to be surgically removed, like a cancer, to keep it from infecting the entire body. It's a process of church discipline. Here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 7. "Purge out, therefore, the old leaven," verse 8. "Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Now, we have gone to all this detail to show that leaven everywhere in Scripture represents what? Evil and error, doctrinally and morally, and gives us the key to the meaning of the parable of the leaven here in Matthew chapter 13. Not only is the interpretation I'm about to give you consistent with the Old Testament concept of leaven, but it's also in perfect harmony with the other six parables right here in chapter 13 of Matthew. All right, here's the interpretation. The woman in the parable symbolizes the false church. Not the ecclesia, which is the true church, but the false church, whose members are professors and pretenders, who have never experienced the regenerating power of God. The meal, or the grain, is the truth of God's word. The leaven is the corruption of God's word by false teachers. It is the introduction of error and false doctrine, human interpretations, religious creeds and dogmas, traditions and superstitions to the Word of God. It is the adding to the truth of God's Word by human traditions and interpretations. It is the Bible plus something, the Bible plus church dogma, the Bible plus worldly programs or human organization or popular compromise. And this process of corruption or fermentation breaks down the purity of the gospel message until it becomes something other than the gospel. It becomes a gospel of legalism, a gospel of salvation by works, a gospel of social activism, a gospel of political reformation, or some gospel other than the one Jesus and the apostles proclaimed. That's the corruption that has taken place during the course of this age. We see it all around us. Sometimes people write to us and they say, "Why are there so many churches and denominations in the world?" Good question. And the reason is right here in the parable of the leaven. The purity of the original gospel message has been corrupted and broken down like a process of fermentation into all sorts of smaller gospels with a small g. And Jesus warned us about it 2,000 years ago. And again, this process of corruption is the adding of human interpretations and traditions to the purity of God's word. It is the Bible plus something else. And remember, I said the woman in the parable of the the leaven symbolizes the false church, the counterfeit aspect of the church, the professing church. And isn't it interesting that in the prophetic scriptures, the end time religious system that will dominate the world one day is described as the scarlet woman of Revelation 17 and 18? A woman. According to the prophetic scriptures, the scarlet woman will succeed in uniting all religions under one great ecumenical apostate church, leavening the whole lump. Before this final stage of the leavening process by the great world church, the Lord will come and take out the true believers, sending his angels to gather his elect and to separate the wheat from the tares. Then the tares are left to go through the fiery judgment of the tribulation period. The scarlet woman and her illegitimate children who have corrupted the gospel of the grace of God will fall under divine judgment. This leavening process of evil in the church began soon after Pentecost and has been going on ever since. The process is undetected by the masses because leavening is a gradual and silent process. But as we approach the end, when the whole lump will be leavened, it becomes more and more evident. Never before has there been so much error taught and deception practiced. Never before has there been such a lack of separation and holiness among believers. Never before has there been such an attitude of tolerance toward false doctrine and moral looseness as there is today. And now we're seeing the battle rage in an arena no one would have thought 25 years ago. I'm talking about the issue of homosexuality. Even in evangelicalism, we're actually debating whether or not homosexuality is wrong. That says something about how far we've come on this downward spiral of compromise. So the fourth secret of the kingdom has to do with the corrupting power of evil in the church. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And do you know what God tells the true church, the ecclesia? He says, come out from among them and be ye separate. And touch not the unclean thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. That's Bible separation, something we don't hear much about these days. Well, that's all of our time for today. On the next program, we'll talk about the next couple of parables here in Matthew 13. I'll see you then. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary. And thank you, listening friend, for tuning in today. If you're enjoying these studies on the series of parables in Matthew 13, we have good news for you. Our special offer for this week is the compact disc containing all of the programs in the series. The title is Seven Secrets of the Kingdom by our Bible teacher, Dr. Gary Hedrick. It's available for your gift of just $6 or more to help us keep this program here on your station. Just visit our secure online store at messianicspecialties.com to place your order. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you, as Dr. Gary Hedrick continues our series of studies on Seven Secrets of the Kingdom, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.